Thanks, Rick. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Arlene. Thanks, US One Worksheets. Thanks, Bookstore. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Bob Dylan. Anybody else? Thanks, Michael Worster, who next Friday at the church in Southside, he's reading poems. Michael is one of he is a dean. Have you ever been called a dean before?
I don't think so.
The person he is performing with is not a poet. Bill Weiner is a wonderful Pittsburgh blues guitarist who some of us here, including me, have played with. So that'll be a nice evening. So I'm reading five poems. Two have appeared in US One Worksheets. One is coming. The next issue, the one that's coming in the next issue is this one called Mae West as an Apartment, which comes from a painting by Salvador Dali in which he started with a photograph of Mae West and then paints over it to make it look like walking into a room. So the painting was about 1935. Mae West as an Apartment. "Why don't you drop by?" she asks, plumping the cushions of her Schiaparelli, hot pink lips like a sofa on which you might get lucky sometime. From the back wall of her mind, your two old masters on syncopal Goya, Mighty Velasquez, stare on blinking as if to declare, "Don't forget to adore this glorious cascade of silver tresses like a silken tapestry invoking unsayable stories of what we do for love." You step over the threshold and her face becomes a clock on the mantle of her mother bone shoulders saying tick-tock, tick-tock, as if she has invented time. You learn to wait without hope, and only then she emerges, whirled up from the core of molten matter, swathed in scarlet, centerpiece of all interior design. "Hi, big boy," she says, shifting her hips as she looks you over. Okay, I'm reading four more poems. This one's not by me. I want to read one from Frank O'Hara Lunch Poems. It's the 50th anniversary issue that came out in 1964. Most of you here know Frank O'Hara is a very influential poet who died young, and he wrote these poems, reputedly many of them, walking around New York City at lunchtime, sitting down with a few extra minutes and writing in a big hurry, and the poems have, I think, wonderful energy. Ave Maria, mothers of America, let your kids go to the movies. Get them out of the house so they won't know what you're up to. It's true that fresh air is good for the body, but what about the soul that grows in darkness embossed by silvery images? And when you grow old, as grow old, they won't hate you, they won't criticize you, they won't know. They'll be in some glamorous country they first saw on a Saturday afternoon, or playing hooky. They may even be grateful to you for their first sexual experience, which only cost you a quarter and didn't upset the peaceful home. They will know where candy bars come from and gratuitous bags of popcorn, as gratuitous as leaving the movie before it's over with a pleasant stranger whose apartment is in the Heaven on Earth building near the Williamsburg Bridge. Oh, mothers, you will have made the little tykes so happy, because if nobody does pick them up in the movies, they won't know the difference. And if somebody does, it'll be sheer gravy, and they'll have been truly entertained either way instead of hanging around the yard or up in their room hating you prematurely, since you won't have done anything horribly mean yet, except keeping them from the darker joys. It's unforgivable, the latter, so don't blame me if you won't take this advice and the family breaks up and your children grow old and blind in front of a TV set, seeing movies you wouldn't let them see when they were young. One of the contemporary poets who's very influenced by O'Hara is Dean Young, whom I'm sure most of the poets in the room know about. So this is a poem, my poem, called On Being Asked by a Friend Why the Sky is Blue, modeled on a Dean Young poem, which Dean Young's poem is called On Being Asked by a Student If He Should Ask Out Some Girl. This is called On Being Asked by a Friend Why the Sky is Blue. I say, do you need a girlfriend and think of Rainy, the humidifier she left when she left me, kindness, distilled water? Why, ask, why is the sky blue? I ask, what about mandrels, those purple-red asses saying, give it to me right now, biology? How embarrassing, I say, locking my hands behind my head as I lean back in my chair that wobbles and lurch in mind. Back to my first high, a bowl of hash. Did I mention swivel chair? A merry-go-round of panic. Which Hitchcock movie was that? As if a lifetime awakened and roared through me, a minute or so that was days, months, until my living better through chemistry. Colleagues steadied me. Time, what is it anyway? Hopeless, I say, to think of Rainy, how she'd smash dinnerware and rearrange the shards into shapes like blue houses in the Sahara. I forgot to mention, any of you who have ever taken a philosophy course know about Plato's chair. Did Plato's chair swivel? Everything dangles, I say, as in participles, and Randy especially knows about the Higgs boson. Everything dangles, I say, as in participles and also particles, like the Higgs that exist for 10 sextillionths of a second and somehow hold the world together. As fear let go and the carousel slowed, I began to feel something, call it euphoria, to be as nothing in the floods and waterspouts of God, quoth William James in the Oxford Companion to the Body, washing through me from the stereo like an oracle, came Arthur Lee, Forever Changes. Some of you remember, it's a song. You know that I could be in love with almost everyone. Like not before or since I felt that. Why does light exist? Why do the visible wavelengths wave at us? Why aren't men, after they deposit sperm, devoured by their mates, saving considerable anguish? Dangling particles, I say, come from solar fusion. Thank you. But that's probably one of the most experimental things that I've done. So these last two are from US-1 worksheets. The Trouble with Love. Says a friend of mine, is you give it an inch, it takes you dancing, takes you to lunch, and the cleaners, takes you where your mother said, don't go. And your father went and came home begging forgiveness. The trouble with love is ice cracks, earth howls when love arrives like a crocus. In spring, if it could cry with joy, and as it heaves toward light, open the windows. Love is the best drug there is. The trouble with love is hit the road, Jack. You're an empty sack. To be alive is to lose the world like Bonaparte, alone on that high shelf of the fire escape where you look down at your feet and you think, the trouble with love is a wild white flag, yearling doe in a distant snowfield, flashing, gone, bloodhound, sniffing a scorched trail into the tangled heartland where there is no trail, blue hole in a cold blue sky, Under a flat stone, you find a note you once wrote to yourself. It says, "The trouble with love." And the last poem, which is in the current issue of US 1 worksheets, is called River Under Ice, which I originally wrote as a, believe it or not, as a poem for the marriage of my daughter and son-in-law. River, it's three parts. River under ice, April morning light leaps through a window. What happens in the mind's eye happens, you and I, specks of dust jitterbugging in a sunbeam toward each other. We're seeds, a blackbird dropped in a meadow, to soak in the sun and rain of each other, to flower untamed, to heal a wound that never closes. The river is moving under the ice. We'll remember July, hillside by the old school, swath of tail feathers fallen from a small brown bird I held in my hand for you to see it breathing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Arlene.